The summer is almost over. It's time to think about that fall season lawn care.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, where we work together to complete that honey-do list, featuring answers to your questions and head-to-head tool challenges. Let's get started with the show with the Handy Guys, Brian and Paul.
Welcome to podcast number 29, and can you believe it, Brian? Summer is almost up.
Oh, no.
You don't seem to be too upset about that, but I'm upset because I love the summer. I love being outside. But, you know, this is a big time of year as we get in here to fall, and it'll be here sooner than you think. It's only a few weeks away, at least as far as my fall season is concerned. That's when school starts again.
Right.
It's not the true fall. But when you get into that season, that is an important time for us to start thinking about lawn care again.
That's right.
My lawn has been crunchy and seemingly dead for the last few weeks, but, you know, it's going to start growing again, and it needs some food.
That's right. So what we're going to talk about in today's show is some fall lawn care tips. You can start planning now for them, and come about Labor Day in a couple of weeks, you'll be able to do some aeration, some fertilizing, and get your lawn healthy so that it makes it through the winter. And you'll have a much better lawn come springtime.
All right. Well, before we do that, let's quickly give out our contact information. You know, you can just email us, right, Brian?
That's right. Us at handyguyspodcast.com.
Go to our website. Just Google Handy Guys Podcast. You'll find it. There's a contact button at the top. You click that. You can fill out some of the contact information. Send us your questions, your suggestions, your critiques. Maybe if you have some good sports statistics, you know, I'm always into that.
Sure. Why not?
You know, Chinese proverbs, perhaps. Yeah.
Right. Or just call us.
Yeah. You can call us at 615-676-0877.
Right. And we always get back to you. We'll always respond, and we may use your question on the air in a future episode.
Now, Brian, we recently had a nice giveaway. I know that we gave out some great products from eclecticproducts.com. And I know soon we're going to have another giveaway, right?
Yes.
And we'll talk about that probably in the next week or two. We're going to give out some interesting Handy Guys. What are they? They're aprons?
They're nail aprons, yeah. So, you know, pretty simple. Not very valuable, but... you know, if you're working around the house and you need to have a bunch of nails in your pocket, you know, you can use the nail apron instead.
Yeah, they can be used for other things. I know my neighbor had one of those aprons, and she had some interesting applications for it. But anyway, we'll talk about that when we give out the free aprons. And before we do that, or before we get started here, let's briefly talk about, do we have any questions we need to address?
Yeah, well, why don't we address a question from...
We record live here, right, Brian? Keep you on your toes.
Yeah, hold on. Where did you put it? Terbeek, that's the screen name that Terbeek's email. And she, I think it's a she, was drilling a pilot hole. I'll read the question. How can I remove a broken drill bit from the window molding without damaging the molding? They were drilling a pilot hole for some hardware to hang a custom-sized window blind when the bit broke.
All right, so this is a pretty, you know, somewhat typical. You're trying to put in pilot holes for, you know, because you want to put in a screw, and perhaps this person is a little less timid than, say, you, Brian. I know you never bother with that, waste your time with pilot holes, right? You just go ahead and,
well,
and split the wood.
If the wood is small and fragile, you're definitely going to need a pilot hole. And
the pilot hole has two advantages. Right. It's easier to get your screw in, number one, and two, it helps prevent you from splitting the molding.
That's
which is even more important.
And in Terbeek's case, the molding area isn't large, and it limits the area where they can install the hardware. And they need to get that drill bit out because the hardware can't be moved up, down, forward, backwards, or side to side.
Okay,
so she needs that hole in that spot for this to work properly. And... so they've got to get the drill bit out.
All right, you provided one answer
via
email.
I had two suggestions.
Right, you had two. Why don't you give your quickly here, give your answers to her, and then I'll give you what I say.
Okay, so the first thing that my first thought was just get some needle nose pliers. Needle nose pliers have a very pointy tip to them, and you're going to damage the molding a little bit, but you should be able to get in there and get a hold of that bit and pull it out. And then I'm thinking,
you can pull it out even though the bit has, you know, it is a bit. It's not a nail.
That's right. You should be able to pull it out.
If it's very small, for smaller bits, yeah, you probably can pull it out.
Terbeek says the bit was very thin and half of it remains in the window frame and molding. It broke off flush with the surface, so they can't grab it with regular pliers.
Okay.
So the needle nose pliers will press into the wood a little bit and you'll be able to pull that bit out.
Got it.
But then I'm thinking, you know, Terbeek was concerned about damaging the molding and making a larger hole than necessary and so forth. So I'm trying to think of ways, well, how could you get that out without damaging the wood? And I really don't know a good way. And the second tip that I gave was something to maybe try. And that was to use what's called a rare earth magnet. They're extremely strong. And I sent Terbeek a link for one that was 178 pounds of pulling power in a little 1-inch magnet. So maybe that would pull the bit out.
Right.
I don't know.
But that's assuming you have some better, more surface area. I think with that limited surface area on the end of the bit,
I don't know. I'd almost like to try it.
What's a bit made of? Is it aluminum, steel, carbide?
No,
I guess it's not
going to
be aluminum, but
yeah,
it's going to have a carbide. Could have a carbide type tip, but okay.
But that should still attract a magnet.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to pull that thing out. And what my suggestion is, if you can't get the needle nose pliers, or perhaps even another mechanical pliers, maybe even vice grips to get it out, then what I would suggest you do is just to use a nail set. So it's not sticking out at all. Recess it a little bit, and then go ahead and try to get your screw in there. I think you could get your screw in that same hole. It'll just go in, shoot in next to the bit itself. Since it's such a small bit, I would think you could still do it. But, you know, let us know. Let us know how it goes. All right. Next up, fall lawn care.
That's right.
You're listening to the Handy Guys Podcast.
All right, we're back, and we want to talk about what we said we were going to talk about, and that's how to prepare your lawn for the coming winter season. I know it's still hot. I know it's not even Labor Day yet, but you need to be ready here because you may have to rent some tools if you don't have them. You want to think about it now. This is a good time. You know, I usually start in September to really dig in with some of the feeding of the lawn and dethatching or aeration. So let's go through what you need to do, because the fall, in my opinion, is probably the most critical time of the year. I guess you could
Absolutely.
Argue spring too, but fall, you know, fall and spring are the two critical times. And if you do a good job in the fall, you'll be really happy come spring.
Right. So first of all, we're talking about the cool season grasses, the ones that are going to go dormant wintertime. You know, that's your Kentucky bluegrass and fescues and things like that.
Bent grass, rye grass.
Right. So, taking care of those, you're going to continue your watering, first of all. So we've been watering through the summer or we haven't. But once things start to cool down a little bit, your grass is going to start to grow and you're going to need to keep it watered.
Sure. So you want to keep watering it, and more importantly, perhaps even in the fall, because it's perhaps been dormant like ours is,
right.
It seems like, for most of July and August around here.
Right.
And this is a great time. It starts growing again. The ground temperatures go back down a little bit. You want to keep watering it. And the other thing you can do is begin to treat weeds. A lot of times, you know, during that dormancy periods, the only thing that's growing are the weeds. You can start pulling weeds. You can treat them with an herbicide, perhaps.
Yeah, I've kind of find that, you know, since we've done good, weed prevention in the spring, that I don't have a lot of weeds right now. So it's very easy. You get that one or two that grow up here and there, and they're very easy to pull out. But if you're having trouble pulling them out, or you have a lot more, you can actually just spot treat those weeds with an herbicide. Instead of going over your whole lawn with a full-blown herbicide, you can get a little pump-up sprayer and mix a concentrate of weed killer and just squirt the ones that are giving you trouble.
Right. Make it easier on yourself if you do decide to pull the weeds. You know, the great time is right after it's rained a little bit. A lot of those things all pull a lot easier.
It softens up, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so the other thing is soil pH balance. We talked about this. This is a great time if you haven't already tested your soil. Go ahead and do it now. Either purchase the soil kit that we have recommended on our site, or call your local extension office from one of your state universities. They will often, I looked into this, I think our local university here in Pennsylvania charges $9 to send in a soil kit. You can send in the soil in your own, you know, plastic container, and they tell you what size and how much they need, or you can, you know, go get something that they provide. But you can use a, I think you can even use a Ziploc they'll take of soil, and they'll test it for you. So get it tested. Do it now. Then when the fall is here, you're ready to treat. If you find that you know, that one of the biggest items is the pH balance, if it's less than 6, you want it to be about 6.5 to 7. If it's lower than that, what do you do, Brian?
You're going to raise the pH.
Right. And how do you do it? You apply lime.
You apply lime.
Fall is really the best time to apply the lime. Do it in the fall. You get, you know, you get the rain. It washes it into the soil. And the other thing is, if you bring that pH up, that will help you with dandelions come spring. Because they like, I think they like a low pH, if I recall. But the key is you get it up. That's going to help your lawn. And if your pH is too high, then you apply sulfur. And the nice thing about this is we don't need to go into details here. If you do your test and you decide you need lime, for instance, go to your home center, get the lime. It tells you right on the bag of lime. It tells you how much you need to apply.
Kit will tell you how much you need to apply.
Then the test kit, but so does the lime. It's on the lime itself. So either way, you can do it. You're right. The test kit tells you. So does the bag of lime. It tells you how much you need. Just go read the information. It's pretty simple. And apply it. So there, you're already going to have a healthier lawn.
Okay, very good. Okay, now what about seeding in the fall? That's the best time to apply new seed.
That's correct.
And that's going to address your bare spots, if you have any thin areas, and things like that. So sometimes people will just overseed the entire lawn. But the better way to do it is also to do the seeding in conjunction with something called aeration. And the aeration will break up the hard compacted surface layer of the soil. You're going to have to rent a machine to do this.
Right. And in fact, there's almost no point if you have a lot of thatch buildup on your lawn, you know, dead grass and other organic material. It creates sort of like a carpet below your green grass. If you have that all built up and you overseed, it's not going to do much good. However, you know, you have two options there. You can dethatch or you can do the core aeration, as you suggested. Now, in my opinion, you're better off just doing the core aeration because it kind of handles the thatch then. That's right.
And you shouldn't have thatch if you're mowing your grass at the height that we've recommended. That's, you know, about 3 inches or so.
Right. And you can, for the core aeration, as you suggested, you can rent an aerator. Now, this is no small item. If you get it, you're going to need an SUV or pickup truck or something like that because it's very heavy. And hopefully you have a good rental center that they'll, you know, show you how to use it, help you lift it up into your car or truck because it weighs a ton because it's weighted with lead so that it can really press into your lawn.
That's right. Maybe you can find even a good place that would deliver it if you don't have it.
Right.
Or, you know, a good way to handle that too is to, you know, they're going to charge you $40-$50 a day to rent that thing.
Correct.
So go in with 3, 4, 5 of your neighbors.
Yes.
And find the one that has the pickup truck and have that person pick it up at the home center or the rental center. And then you all chip in for
that. That is what I did. I actually just went out and got it, brought it home, started using it. My neighbors saw it. And I said, hey, you want to go in on it? I think it cost me about $60 or $70. I said, just give me $20 each, you know, if you want to use it. And they were great. So each two neighbors gave me $20. I got 40 back out of that 60 or so. So we all paid $20. And it doesn't take, you know, it takes about the same amount of time as it does to mow your lawn. And it works really well. It provides air to the soil. It allows you to overseed then. And also it allows the fertilizer and the water to get to the roots of your grass. So it's really a wonderful process for your lawn. And what's really neat is you'd think if you really do, you know, a corator basically just pulls up plugs all through the lawn, right?
Right, makes lots of little holes.
Yeah.
And it leaves on the surface these little
plugs,
pellets of plugs of
dirt.
It
looks like a mess at first. And then they all dissipate with the first, you know, rainstorm or two. And the cool thing is if you overseed, the grass just finds its way into those holes, the grass seed. And it works great. It just starts growing, and it's just a great way to go. Now, I do have one problem with that, Brian.
What's that?
Is one of the critical areas that I need to overseed and aerate is my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that fall is a good time for something else. Do you know what that is?
Football?
You got it. Yeah. I mean, I need some advice, Brian. How do I keep the kids off the backyard playing football? Because I know it's going to happen. I'm going to aerate and overseed, and they're just going to stomp it all down for 2 months or something like that.
Well, yeah, it's too bad.
But yeah, we'll. Yeah, I guess I'm raising kids, not grass. So. Okay, so that's that. The aeration. You can also dethatch. That's a lot of work if you pull up all that thatch, but just go for the aeration. See how you do. Obviously, you want to rake leaves, get the leaves off the lawn.
Yeah, because they can smother the grass, keep the sunlight from getting into the grass and so forth. So get those leaves up as quickly as you can.
We talked about watering. And the other thing is, you know, continue mowing your lawn on a regular basis at a, you know, proper mower height. And you should be in good shape to have a good lawn. Is there anything else we need to worry about? What about, you know, bad patches? You know, you have lawn disease. I don't know. Grubs.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you have a specific issue caused by a disease or a specific insect, treat for that particular problem. And you're... lawn and garden center, probably not the home centers, but your lawn and garden center is going to give you some good advice for the particular problem that you have. Or you can call Handy Guys and we'll check it out.
Now, I know in previous shows we mentioned when we talked about lawn care, organics, and neither of us are experts in organics, you know, lawn care. But I do know that corn gluten is a material that you can purchase online from several different suppliers. You may even be able to find it at your home center. And it is an organic material. It's a byproduct of corn, cornstarch, I believe it is, and it can be applied to your lawn, and believe it or not, it serves as a weed preventative, a pre-emergence. It also works with crabgrass in the spring, and it also adds nitrogen to your lawn. So you can look into that, or listeners can check it out. I haven't had enough experience with it yet to discuss it in detail, but it is an organic material you can use instead of an herbicide.
Okay, well, very good.
Well, that's all we have for this week. Hopefully you'll have a healthy lawn.
Very good. And enjoy your Labor Day.
All right. I'm Paul.
I'm Brian.
We're the Handy Guys, and we'll be back next week.